Chapter 2. The Methods of Subliminal Technology.
A few months before I was born, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small town in Tennessee. And from the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and actually invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world just a few months later. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in our family. In my young mind, each member had a special place. My brother, Bill, 5 years my senior, was my example. Fran, my sister, gave me an opportunity to play big brother and develop the art of teasing. My parents were complimentary instructors. Mom taught me to love the word of God, and Dad taught me to obey it. But the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales, adventures, mysteries, and even comedies. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours every single evening. In fact, if I wanted to know about politics, history, or science, he knew it all. He knew about the past, understood the present, and seemingly could even predict the future. And the pictures he could draw were so lifelike that I would often laugh or cry as I watched. He was like a friend to the whole family. He took Dad, Bill, and me to our first Major League Baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies, and he even made arrangements to introduce us to several movie stars. My brother and I were deeply impressed by John Wayne in particular. And the whole time, the stranger never seemed to stop talking. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes Mom would quietly get up while the rest of us were enthralled with one of his stories of faraway places, go to her room, read her Bible, and pray. I wonder now if she ever prayed that the stranger would leave. You see, my dad ruled our household with certain moral convictions. But this stranger never felt obligated to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our house, not from us, from our friends, or adults. Our longtime visitor, however, used occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made Dad squirm. And to my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. My dad didn't permit alcohol in his home, not even for cooking. But the stranger felt like we needed exposure and enlightened us to other ways of life. He offered us beer and other alcoholic beverages often. In fact, he made cigarettes look tasty, cigars appear manly, and pipes were very distinguished. He talked freely, probably too much too freely, about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know that my early concepts of the man-woman relationship were influenced by the stranger. As I look back, I believe it was the grace of God that the stranger did not influence us more. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents. Yet he was seldom rebuked and never asked to leave. More than 30 years have passed since the stranger moved in with our family in our small town in Tennessee. He is not nearly so intriguing to my dad as he was in those early years. But if I were to walk in my parents' den today, you would still see him sitting over in a corner, waiting for someone to listen to him talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name? We always just called him TV.
Now, that story not only has a surprise ending, but a very convicting one, doesn't it? And if we are honest with ourselves, most of us would admit that watching TV endlessly, hour after hour, probably isn't the best thing for our minds, is it? In fact, it reminds me of the saying, how much TV would you watch if you had to chop wood to keep it going? Think about it. Most modern media is a mindless time waster. In fact, it not only wastes our time, but it also puts waste into our mind. Which apparently is why Groucho Marx stated, I find TV very educating. Every time somebody turns it on, I go into another room and read a book. But here's my point. Like Groucho Marx, how many of us will admit that ingesting countless hours of various forms of media is not just a time waster, it really is harmful to our lives? It is, junk in equals junk out. And not only that. But how many of us will actually do something about it? I say that because right now, whether you realize it or not, you are like one of those people in that story. You are either like the father who is in denial over the harm the stranger is causing, or like that son who listens to the stranger because a parent allows them to do it, or you're like that mother who knows it's wrong, but you still don't do anything about it. And again, this is one of the many reasons why we are writing this book entitled, Subliminal Seduction: How the Mass Media Mesmerizes the Minds of the Masses. Our desire is that hopefully, after reading this, you will have the courage to change your viewing habits for the better, for your benefit. In fact, we will be ending on that point. But for now, let us continue to explore where we left off last time with the question we posed: could it be that the media, including the usage of subliminal technology embedded throughout the media, really is responsible for the influence of immoral behavior that the Bible said would appear on the scene when you are living in the last days? Now again, as a disclaimer, people who are responsible for their own behavior and choices should not go around blaming others, including technology, for their actions. You need to own up to it. But my question is, does this manipulative technology, including subliminal technology, really influence people to make those choices to engage in the types of immoral behavior the Bible talked about? I think the answer is a resounding yes, especially when you are aware of the multitude of ways they are using this seductive technology on us, whether we realize it or not. So, let's dive into those methods, shall we? The first method subliminal technology is being used on us is by our sense of smell. Let's take a whiff of what they're up to with this one. You see, it is actually reported that Disney uses this subliminal smell technique in their theme parks by putting vanilla on cookie sheets and then heating them up in an oven. Why? Because people then start to smell the smell of cookies baking and come into the cookie shop for fresh cookies. But those cookies were baked somewhere else, but the smell of vanilla persuaded them to come in and buy the not-so-fresh, fresh-smelling cookies. All a process of manipulation through our sense of smell. Then, there is the not-so-obvious smells called pheromones. Researchers at the University of Chicago have demonstrated the existence of human pheromones, or compounds that are produced by a person that can influence the biology or behavior of another. The new results have even been reported in the journal Nature, and it shows that people are indeed capable of being led by the nose. This is a very exciting study that is going to make a lot of researchers sit up and take notice, said Dr. Charles Wysocki of the Monell Chemical Senses Center in Philadelphia. Other researchers predicted that the discovery would throw wide open the door on pheromone research, and they said that subliminal chemical cues very likely underlay many human behaviors. In other words, they influence them, as this article also admits.
Shoppers on the prowl for digital playthings unwittingly stumbled into a covert operation on the olfactory frontier. Riding up the escalator to the third floor of the shops at Columbus Circle in New York, they encountered a scent. It was not emanating from one of the many European tourists cruising the mall or escaping from a promotional event at a nearby store. No. It was the seductive smell of consumer electronics. Samsung was conducting a test of its new signature fragrance in its Samsung Experience Concept store. Researchers asked the shoppers leaving the store if they thought the scent was stylish, innovative, cool, passionate, or cold, and, more important, whether the scent made them feel like hanging around the shop a little longer. Nicole Sneaker, 25, was charmed. "I thought the store had just opened," she said. "It smelled very fresh and new." Plus, she even admitted, she probably lingered a bit more than she had intended. "I felt relaxed. It put me in the right mood. That's important in shops nowadays." And the rival Sony-style store has staged a preemptive strike in the odoriferous battle, with a shop scented with notes of mandarin orange and vanilla. "We wanted to add one extra dimension to differentiate our store from the rest," says Christine Bellick, noting that the company is particularly interested in attracting female shoppers. The company is also exploring a way to make the store's windows radiate the scent, so passersby might be lured inside to sniff out a laptop or new digital camera. While vision is unquestionably our most powerful sense, when it comes to garnering an emotional response, scent is a much more powerful trigger. 75% of the emotions we generate on a daily basis are affected by smell. And the average human being is able to recognize approximately 10,000 different odors. What's more, people can recall smells with 65% accuracy after a year. And because of this, Westin Hotels recently began a test of white tea, its new signature fragrance, in 8 cities around the world, deploying the scent in the hotel's public spaces via a diffusing machine. So, does it work? You bet it does. Dr. Eric Spangenberg, Dean of the College of Business and Economics at Washington State University, ran a test in a clothing store in the Pacific Northwest to determine how scent affected customers by gender. He diffused a subtle smell of vanilla in the women's department and rose maroc, a spicy, honey-like fragrance that had tested well with guys, in the men's. The results were astonishing. When he examined the cash register tapes, he found that receipts almost doubled on the days when scent was used.
In other words, these subliminal smell techniques, attacking our senses, really do influence people's behavior. And just when you thought you've smelled it all, believe it or not, researchers are now working on ways to make your TV smell, no pun intended.
Wake up and smell the TV. Virtual reality television to be a commercial reality in 15 years. Imagine watching a football game on a TV that not only shows the players in three dimensions, but also lets you experience the smells of the stadium, and maybe even pat a goal scorer on the back. The targeted virtual reality television would allow people to view high-definition images in 3D from any angle, in addition to being able to touch and smell the objects being projected upwards from a screen parallel to the floor. Can you imagine hovering over your TV to watch Japan versus Brazil in the finals of the World Cup as if you are really there? Asked Yoshiaki Takeuchi. While companies, universities, and research institutes around the world have made some progress on reproducing 3D images suitable for TV, developing the technologies to create the sensations of touch and smell could prove the most challenging, Takeuchi said. Researchers are looking into ultrasound, electric stimulation, and wind pressure as potential technologies for touch. Such a TV would have a wide range of potential uses. It could be used in home shopping programs, allowing viewers to feel a handbag before placing their order, or in the medical industry, enabling doctors to view or even perform simulated surgery on 3D images of someone's heart. The future TV is part of a larger national project under which Japan aims to promote.
In other words, they are going to be using it on us, and who knows what else. But as you can see, something doesn't smell right with this subliminal method. In fact, I'd say it downright stinks. But it doesn't stop there. The second method subliminal technology is being used on us is by our sense of savor. Let's get a taste of what they're up to with this one. You see, when it comes to our sense of savor or taste, most of us may have already heard how cigarette manufacturers were caught red-handed adding chemicals in cigarettes to make them more addictive, i.e., influence people's behavior through taste whether they realized it or not. In fact, the European Union allows over 600 additives to be used in the manufacture of tobacco products. But what most people don't realize is that this subliminal taste method is not only used on those who like to blow smoke up in the sky, it's actually being done regularly to our food supply. In fact, many researchers admit that hardly any of us have ever known a true natural hunger pang. Rather, the food that we eat is laced with chemicals that cause us to want to eat more and more of the bad food within hours. For instance, it is now a well-known fact that MSG or monosodium glutamate is added to nearly all processed and manufactured foods as a flavor enhancer. The only problem is, it has no taste or nutritional value in and of itself. Free glutamate works by stimulating the taste buds and exciting neurons in the brain, creating the illusion of tastier food while suppressing bitterness in the mouth. And MSG is actually a drug and is very addictive according to toxicologist, Dr. George Schwartz. It intensifies pleasurable tastes and causes one to crave foods high in glutamate. In fact, the more processed foods you eat, the more you crave them. Why? Because they disrupt the brain's natural chemical balance, and your natural hunger becomes distorted, causing you to now crave food. And it's known that aspartame or NutraSweet has some similar sour side effects as well. Believe it or not, aspartame/NutraSweet is not very sweet in and of itself. It's actually a brain drug that stimulates your brain, so you think that the food you're eating tastes sweet. And it's used in all kinds of so-called diet products including sodas. However, an interesting side effect is that aspartame/NutraSweet actually causes you to crave carbohydrates. So much for being diet pop. Maybe we should call it diet plump. Total manipulation by our taste. I know this is a hard truth to swallow, and it tastes downright rotten, but we are just getting started with these subliminal manipulative methods attacking our senses. The third method subliminal technology is being used on us is by our sense of sound. Let's lend an ear to what they're up to on this one. You see, another popular way to subliminally persuade someone is by using sound. In fact, if you recall, we saw this earlier in the video featuring how sound is being used subliminally in movies to make people purposely feel uncomfortable. However, this can be done in a variety of ways. The first way you can subliminally manipulate someone with sounds is through a process that's called backmasking. And this is when they make a backwards recording in music, on purpose, that's often used by musicians to subliminally influence their audience. And here's what they do. Vocals or other noises are simply recorded as usual and then flipped around backwards by a computer to be embedded unintelligibly into the music. However, it's still very intelligible to your subconscious mind and you will pick up on it. In fact, it's so commonplace, This method of subliminal sound technology, that's already being used by bands like Pink Floyd, who actually made a parody of it. Their song says empty spaces played forward. But if you play it in reverse, it says, congratulations. You've just discovered the secret message. Please send your answer to Old Pink, care of the Funny Farm, Chalfont. Listen to it for yourself. In fact, even some so-called Christian bands are getting in on this parody of subliminal music. Petra's song says Judas Kiss played forward. But if you play it in reverse, it says, what are you looking for the devil, when you ought to be looking for the Lord? Listen to it for yourself. But unfortunately, not everyone uses this subliminal messaging in music for laughs. Here's Queen's song Another One Bites the Dust played forward. Now, some would say if you play it backwards, it says, it's fun to smoke marijuana over and over again. Take a listen. Oh, but rock artists aren't the only ones getting into this subliminal influence using sound, so are pop artists like Britney Spears. Here's her song Hit Me Baby One More Time being played forward. Now here it is in reverse saying, sleep with me. I'm not too young. And last but not least, some artists use this subliminal sound technique in their music for satanic purposes, like the band Grim Reaper in their song, Final Scream, when it is played forward. Now here it is in reverse saying, see you in hell. But you might be thinking, hey, this is all just one big musical coincidence. There's no way this really has an effect on us. Well, if it is really all just in our head with no effect on us, then why have there been lawsuits brought against some of these musicians who use this subliminal sound technology? Furthermore, if it's really just all in your head with nothing to worry about, then why do store owners use subliminal sound techniques to curb shoplifting in their music? Now, the technique they use is not backmasking or playing a message in reverse like we just heard with those musicians, but one that plays a message below or subliminal, or even above or supraliminal, our normal range of hearing. Yet, it nonetheless still is heard by our brains. For instance, over 20 years ago, numerous department stores, in the United States and Canada, installed what was called the Little Black Box, which mixed music and anti-theft messages. The quick repetition of I am honest. I will not steal. 9,000 times an hour at a barely audible volume was able to curb shoplifting at one department store by 37% during a 9-month trial. And retailers around the country are experimenting with no shoplifting audio tapes that endlessly repeat on a subconscious level using Muzak, the directives, do not steal. One New Orleans supermarket reported that theft rates fell 2/3 from $50,000 yearly to just $13,000. In fact, this subliminal method is not only used to curb theft, but even other bad behavior as well. In a Kansas City medical center, hidden audio messages are constantly piped through the sound system, causing dramatic results. Smoking in the staff lounge is down 50% and angry patient outbursts in the crowded patient room are down 60%.
According to the research conducted by Adrian C. North, a psychologist at the University of Leicester, unobtrusive music selected by store managers, business managers, and companies like Muzak can affect a person's thoughts and action without the person even knowing.
In fact, speaking of Muzak, let's go a little deeper into the purpose of the so-called music service. Is it really just to pipe in music for businesses in an easy manner for the pleasure of their customers? Or is it there to manipulate them with sound?
People listen to music for various reasons. Some people use music in order to increase relaxation. Others use music as a form of energy. Music is heard in cars, in homes, at shopping malls, and at dentists' offices, among many other places around the world. Sometimes, a song gets into your head and you find yourself humming the tune all day long, and then you realize that a stranger who had passed you hours ago had been whistling that song, or that you had heard 2 seconds of that song on your radio alarm that morning before pressing the snooze button. This is the idea behind Muzak. In 1922, General George Squier invented Muzak, a type of music to deliver from phonograph records to workplaces via electrical wires. He realized that the transmission of music at the workplace increased productivity of his employees. Soon after, there was a study that showed that people work harder when they listen to specific kinds of music. As a result, the BBC began to broadcast music in factories during World War II in order to awaken fatigued workers. Muzak's patented stimulus progression, which consists of quarter-hour groupings of songs, is the foundation of its success. Stimulus progression incorporates the idea that intensity affects productivity. Each song receives a stimulus value between 1 and 6 to 1 is slower and 6 is upbeat and invigorating. A contemporary, instrumental song full of strings, brass, and percussion, 27 instruments in total, would most likely receive a stimulus value of 5. During a quarter hour, about 6 songs of varying stimuli values are played, followed by a 15-minute period of silence. A 24-hour plan is engineered to provide more stimulating tunes when people are the most lethargic, at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. and slower songs after lunch and towards the end of the day. Careful programming of Muzak has been proven to increase morale and productivity at workplaces, increase sales at supermarkets, and even dissuade potential shoplifting at department stores. More recently, a psychologist measured the influence of music on decision-making. He and his colleagues tested the effect of in-store music on wine selections at a supermarket by setting up a wine shelf with French and German wines. On alternating days, French accordion music or German pieces done by a Bierkeller brass band were played over a two-week period. The results indicated that music did indeed influence shoppers' wine selections. When French music played, 40 bottles of French wine and 8 bottles of German wine were purchased. When German music played, 22 bottles of German wine and 12 bottles of French wine were purchased. Researchers Charles Arini and David Kim have established a preference for prototypes model, which suggests that the mind is composed of closely packed, interconnected cognitive units which relate music and other structures and ideas. According to their model, music can stimulate the mind into thinking about ideas similar to the music. For example, French music conjures up images of France. In addition, the speed of music can influence behavior. For example, several studies have been conducted which illustrate how fast music makes supermarket shoppers move around more quickly. Likewise, fast music causes diners to eat faster and slow music slows eating down, and leads to more drinks being purchased at the bar. What is interesting about background music is that it is intended to be just that, noiseless noise. The concept of barely audible tunes affecting one's behavior leads to the question as to whether one's behavior can be manipulated by another individual without the person being aware of the manipulation. According to research, stimuli below the threshold of conscious can influence thoughts, feelings, and actions without the eye function becoming involved or even knowing about it, that there is unconscious perception. It is likely that a number of other things can cause the same result. As a result, people are not consciously recognizing that they are being manipulated by music when it is occurring.
Well, there you have it. Secular research admits that there is no way to know in totality all the way we are being manipulated, subliminally when we are hearing or watching the sound of TV or listening to a radio or any other source of sound or music when we are at home or on public. Total manipulation. Somebody's trying to stick something between our ears, and it isn't a box of Q-tips either. But these subliminal sensory methods do not stop there. The fourth way subliminal technology is being used on us is by our sense of sight. Speaking of television, this is yet another popular method we are being subliminally manipulated, as we dealt with in the first chapter of our book in the history of subliminal technology. However, TV is not the only way they are manipulating us by sight. Believe it or not, we haven't seen anything yet when it comes to this visual subversion. Let's see just how deep they'll go into our pockets. The first way they visually subliminally seduce us is by stealth marketing. Whether you realize it or not, stealth ads are simply commercials that fly in under the radar, tucked away in places that shouldn't have any commercials at all. And what is so seductive about it is that they come in a variety of disguises. The first disguise is by commercial branding. Commercial branding is a visual subliminal technique used to seduce you into buying things, not with just a visual commercial in between the shows like we're used to, but rather, with a subliminal visual commercial embedded in the show. They call these manipulative techniques commercial branding or product integration. And it's a huge arsenal of weapons that the modern media and advertisers rely upon to deliver subliminal messages in order to get people to buy their products. This includes product placements in TV, news, movies, and talk shows, all with celebrities who are actually purposely paid endorsers. The whole process of all is carefully scripted, whether you realize it or not. For instance, it wasn't by chance that an Apple computer was used by Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City, or the Ray-Bans were worn by Tom Cruise in Top Gun, or the Shaguar Jaguar driven by Austin Powers in Goldmember, and even Dougie the Pizza Boy spending weeks to try to deliver Pizza Hut pizzas to the Big Brother housemates, and on it goes, just to name a few examples of this subliminal technique. In fact, they have even made whole shows dedicated to this subliminal technique of hiding commercials embedded throughout a program, like the so-called reality show Extreme Makeover Home Edition. In reality, it's all just one big giant ongoing weekly commercial for Sears, Furniture, and Appliances Now, Pella Windows and Doors, Owens Corning, Lumber Liquidators, Walmart, and Disney World Resorts, just to name a few. And they not only do this with television, but they also do it in movies as well. Let me give you just a few examples.
WatchMojo.com reports. We may not like being sold to, but sometimes it works. Example, clip from Pulp Fiction. John Travolta and his partner, Samuel L. Jackson, are riding in their car. Samuel L. Jackson, what do they call a Big Mac? John Travolta, a Big Mac is a Big Mac, but they call it Love Big Mac. Narrator. Welcome to WatchMojo.com. Today we are counting down the top 10 picks of product placement in movies. As an example, Back to the Future Part 2, 1989, the actress is tearing the seal off a frozen pizza package from Pizza Hut. Pizza. For this list we are looking at effective marketing strategies in movies that made product placement oblivious or even enjoyable. While shameless product placement has tendencies to annoy audiences, delicate and intelligent placement can get us up out of our seats and into our wallets. But either way, be sure to check out our list of the top 10 shameless product placements in movies as well. 10.
The Matrix, 1999.
Nokia. The man is opening an envelope at his computer with the word Nokia in large letters. Inside the envelope is a cell phone made by Nokia.
As he is holding the phone, it rings. At the other end of the line, the phone has been dropped off the ledge of the multi-level building.
A passerby picks it up and puts it in the trash, unbroken. It would make sense that the makers of the everlasting brick cell phone would have had a feature in this sci-fi classic. For the film, the Nokia 8120 was featured as the phone used to bounce in and out of the artificially generated reality. It was a snazzy phone with some appealing features as the time, and best of all, it made you look like you were taking a really important phone call.
9. A Christmas Story. Red Ryder BB Gun.
If the threat of losing an eyeball wasn't enough to dissuade little Ralphie Parker from lusting after a Red Ryder Carbine Action 200 range shot model air rifle for Christmas, then it certainly wasn't going to stop kids in the audience. Even if you weren't a kid who liked playing with guns or even liked shooting things, by the end of the film you kind of wanted an air rifle made by Red Ryder. Ralphie Parker, I think everybody should have a Red Ryder BB gun. You probably didn't care about taking the chance of shooting your eye out either.
8. Transformers. Chevrolet Camaro. Main character, it's got racing stripes.
He is looking over the car while talking to the salesman.
Salesman, yay.
Although General Motors is all up and throughout the film and making what we call an ungraceful appearance, the true standout product placement is the Camaro. Bumblebee, the Autobot, endears himself to human Sam Witwicky and then transforms himself from an old Camaro to a slick, sexy concept Camaro. Making himself a hero like Shia LaBeouf. Bad guy, you want to put the fate of the world on the kid's Camaro?
That's cool.
After being featured in the film, sales of the sporty yellow car skyrocketed,
making the Camaro the leader in the cool car department. Optimus Prime, we live among these people now, hiding in plain sight, but watching over them in secret.
7.
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, 2004. White Castle Burgers.
One of the characters, just thinking about those Tinder little White Castle burgers, with those itty-bitty grilled onions that explode in your mouth like flavor crystals every time you bite into one. The title of this slider franchise is in the name of the movie.
Which seems like a pretty shameless plug to us.
Two stoned high achievers set out on a mission to solve their White Castle cravings.
Their mission seems to run parallel with many real-life munchies run. And the burger joint saw a large boost in sales following the release of the film.
Character, I want 30 sliders, 5 French fries and 4 large cherry cokes.
The second character says, I want the same thing, except make it Diet Cokes. Never underestimate the buying power of college kids. Character, that was the best meal of my life.
6. The Italian Job, 1969-2003.
Mini Cooper.
Character, you have a bunch of cars in there, right? Mini Coopers?
The salesman says, no. The main character tells him, I'll give you $5,000 to put me into that car.
Audiences may not be really aware of these adorable European cars prior to the film's release. Although Mini Coopers were filmed in the 1969 original, most American moviegoers weren't exactly familiar with the popularity overseas.
That is until the 2003 remake. These retro-inspired BMW-manufactured vehicles were integrated into the plot, making them stars in their own right. And having them seem so darn adorable in the chase scenes didn't hurt sales either. 5. Cast Away, 2000. Wilson's sporting goods. Tom Hanks is on an island after being in a plane crash, and he seems to be the only survivor. He is talking to a bull that had washed on shore.
That bull was the only thing that kept him from losing it being all alone.
Tom Hanks, well, regardless, I would rather take my chance out there on the ocean than to stay here and die on this island for the rest of my life talking to a volleyball.
It is a story of a FedEx worker who survives a plane crash and ends up on a deserted island, and believe it or not, it was actually positive PR for the courier service. But Wilson's sporting goods made out even better when Tom Hanks' character fashioned a best friend out of a volleyball and a bloody handprint.
He ends up humanizing an inanimate object. He also ended up advertising a sporting goods company for a solid portion of the film without it being annoying.
4. James Bond franchise, 1962 Omega SA, BMW, Aston Martin. Instructor, now, if you will see here, if you lift of the lid here, on the gear shift, you will find a little red button.
Whatever you do, don't touch it.
James Bond, and why not? Being a debonair secret agent man apparently comes with some perks. Clearly you always get the girl, but you are also always decked out from head to toe with motor vehicles, in the finest of luxuries.
Instructor, Aston Martin calls it the Vanquish, we call it the Vanish.
He pushes a button, and the car that was invisible is now solid, right in front of him.
And it comes with guns. What advertiser wouldn't want to get in on that? When you are a luxury brand aligning yourself up with sophistication, and it doesn't get more sophisticated than James Bond.
Just look at his watch and his wonderfully exciting cars, do you need more proof?
3. Top Gun, 1986.
Ray-Ban US Navy. Nothing screams, I want to be a fighter pilot, more than a bomber jacket and a pair of Ray-Ban aviator glasses. Especially since they were widely included in this Tom Cruise classic. The actor had already boosted sales for the Shade Maker years earlier in Risky Business.
But Top Gun prompted a sales boost of 40% in just 7 months.
However, no institution saw a bigger marketing impact than the US Navy, which saw a 500% uptick in recruitment. Everyone wanted to learn the Top Gun high five and take the highway to the danger zone.
2.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial, 1982.
Reese's Pieces. Chocolate-covered candies and aliens do not necessarily go hand in hand. But you have to use something to lure an extraterrestrial.
Apparently, the role of the sweet bribe was supposed to go to man who declined for whatever reason, leaving Hershey's new product Reese's Pieces to pick up the win. Reports say the peanut butter-based treat saw an 85% increase in sales in the wake of the film's success. So, we guess not only aliens like bite-sized candy.
Before we plug our top pick, here are a few of our honorable mentions. Lost in Translation, 2003. Suntory Whiskey.
For relaxing times, make it Suntory time. Gone in 60 Seconds, 2000. Shelby Mustang GT500.
Nicolas Cage is driving one in this movie. Up in the Air, 2009.
American Airlines.
I wasn't sure this even existed. This is the American Airlines concierge key. Forrest Gump, 1994. Dr. Pepper. Tom Hanks says, I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers. Then he belches. Dirty Harry, 1971-88. .44 Magnum.
Clint Eastwood says, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful gun in the world.
It would blow your head clean off. You best ask yourself one question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you bunk? 1.
Back to the Future franchise, 1985-90.
DeLorean Motor Company.
This film franchise was notable for a number of reasons: creativity, the fun adventure, and the interesting plot.
But the one thing that stood out for the audience was the futuristic vehicle at the center of the time-traveling story. Michael J. Fox, you have a time machine and a DeLorean.
Doc, the way I see it, if you are going to build a time machine and a car, why not do it with style? With super cool wing doors,
a silver chassis and an angular body style, it wasn't your run-of-the-mill coupe. Doc, when this baby reaches 88 miles per hour, you are going to see some serious stuff. And even to this day, this car's exclusivity makes it one of the most sought after in the world.
Don't worry. This stuff has no effect on you. It's all a hoax. Besides, they would never use it on you. Yeah, right. But that's not all. In one Hollywood movie alone, there were subliminal placed ads for Target, Philips Electronics, Starbucks, Motorola, Rolling Stone Magazine, Evian Bottled Water, McDonald's, Streetwear, Revlon, Kodak, Sega, and Ford. And why do they do this? Because it works, folks, and they admit it. This is why advertisers pay millions of dollars to TV and movie producers to do this subliminal product placement, which in turn saves the movie producers tons of money on production costs. What's happening is that TV shows and box office movies are actually getting turned into one giant string of subliminal commercials to manipulate you and I into buying their products. Gee, I wonder why people are getting so greedy and materialistic these days. I wonder if it's influencing their behavior. But that's not all. Even the nightly news is getting in on this subliminal visual act but doing what's called news-adjacent targeted advertising. Here's just one example. The TV news production company INNX in San Diego produces TV news health features such as the NyQuil News, hosted by former NBC News correspondent Lucky Severson, for 200 NBC stations that's watched by about 9 million consumers a day. And what they do is let advertisers select from among its upcoming segments those which best match their products, such as NyQuil, to figure out where a promo for NyQuil could be attached to a news story about the flu. So, you just thought you were getting some non-biased news story about the flu season, when in reality you got a carefully designed subliminal commercial to manipulate you into buying their flu product. It's all working together hand in hand, even in the news. And the reason why they are doing this is because the ad breaks are getting more and more crowded and competitive, and people are buying more and more personal video recorders like TiVo or have DVR capabilities in their cable subscriptions, which allows them to fast forward or skip outright all the commercials. And they can't have that. So, these new stealthy subliminal branding techniques give the advertisers the means to get around these technologies, enabling us to skip over their traditional commercials and still be manipulated into buying their products by simply inserting them inside the shows. We are being forced to watch their commercials no matter what. Why? Because they work. But that's not all. The second disguise they use in stealth marketing is called digital branding. And these are the digitally created images that do not exist in the real world but look very real on your TV screen. For instance, fans watching Major League Baseball on ESPN will see what seems to be product billboards on the walls behind home plate. But fans at the game will not, they don't exist. ESPN has a deal with digital ad leader Princeton Video Image, PVI, to insert what's called virtual ads into the network's game broadcasts. In fact, pretty much all of the sports broadcasts around the world are now using this subliminal virtual ad technique on their viewers, whether people realize it or not, as the transcript of this video shows.
This clip shows a soccer game being played in the stadium, but as the film is running slower than real time, you can see an ad come on the screen for Wild Turkey Bourbon. The players can't see it because it's not printed on the field like the other ads are. As they continue to cross the field, another ad is brought onto the screen, also for Wild Turkey. And again, farther down the field there is another. At another soccer game, the ads that are shown on the screen are for Victoria Bitter. Again, this isn't anything the players can see, it is all subliminal. As they go a little farther across the field, an other ad for Home Timber and Hardware is shown over the players. As people are at the beach and playing in the water, the image of Kellogg is shown printed across the sand.
What a bunch of fakeries. All designed to subliminally get you to buy stuff and or influence your choices and behaviors. But don't worry. They'll never use this on us. Yeah, right. Anybody starting to see a pattern here? But that's not all. It's not just the sports industry getting in on this subliminal visual technique. Virtual ads are also being embedded into television coverage of events and things like the arrivals of the Grammy Awards. There they displayed a virtual street banner for Denny's, a virtual entry canopy logo for Candy's, and virtual logos on sidewalks for Ford and MasterCard. TV viewers saw the ads, but arriving celebrities did not. Why? Because it was all digitally superimposed on the screen. We cannot escape this stuff. In fact, sometimes, these virtual advertisements are digitally flashed on the screen even in music videos. The following video is from a rap group called Jovanotti featuring their song, Penso Positivo, which means positive task. Here you will see them doing a parody of product placement in a grocery store with the name of the song Penso Positivo on several products. But is that the only product being shown? See if you can catch the subliminal one they digitally tucked in.
The video starts out with a dog running through the aisles of a grocery store. As people try to catch it, to put it outside, the dog suddenly turns into a lead singer of the band playing in the market. The message that keeps coming into view is for Penso Positivo. This is what seems to be the message in this song that they are singing as well. As far as the human eye is able to see, there are no subliminal placements.
Well, did you see it? Probably not. There's a photo that was digitally flashed on the screen, for an actual popular European detergent called Drixen, right towards the end of that clip. Now, the irony is, the music video was making a parody of product placement, yet they subliminally tucked in an actual product placement. And not so surprisingly, others in the media industry also using this same subliminal technique in kids' videos. Once again, here's just one example from Disney. It's a clip from their cartoon, Oliver and Company. A clip from Oliver and Company, as the dogs are running through the town, they are going up and down the streets and the signs that they pass show the different ads. As you are watching them run and yell to get away from their pursuer, your mind catches the pictures they pass. 9. So, how many were there? Remember, this is just a tiny clip of one cartoon. First, they set the pace for this commercial branding with an advertisement for Coca-Cola right out in the opening credits. Then, you see an ad for Ryder trucks tucked away in this dark alley scene. And then, just in case you forgot to think about it already in your brain, here's another advertisement for Coke. And then here's an advertisement for GMC vehicles. Apparently for the adults who are stuck watching this cartoon with their kids. And just in case you forgot about it again, here is yet another ad for Coca-Cola. Hey kids, apparently, they want to influence you now to think about growing up and playing lotto, as was flashed here. And then the final scene is one huge last gasp for advertisements, as you've seen here with ads tucked in for Sony, Tab, USA Today, and yep, you guessed it, in case you forgot again apparently, Coca-Cola. And believe it or not folks, they even use this subliminal visual technique in magazines as well. Nothing escapes their grasp when it comes to visual media. In fact, let me give you just one quick, easy, sneaky and deceptive example. Here we see a seemingly innocent photo of Marilyn Monroe, in a magazine, right? Or is it? A close-up reveals the truth. As you will see, the mole on her face is actually a digitally enhanced picture of a Mercedes logo. Talk about subliminal seduction. And so, the question is, does all this visual subliminal stealth marketing really work on us? You bet it does. As we saw in the videos, Reese's Pieces was a relatively unknown candy. But after it appeared in the movie E.T., the sales leapt 66% in just 3 months. Then there's Red Stripe beer. Red Stripe was a small import beer from Jamaica before it was seen in the movie The Firm. But once Tom Cruise took a swig, sales increased by 53%. And then, speaking of Tom Cruise, after he wore a pair of black Ray-Ban sunglasses in the movie Risky Business, sales immediately tripled. Then there is the dress Demi Moore wore in Indecent Proposal, the backpack Julia Roberts carried in The Pelican Brief, or the glasses Harrison Ford wore in The Fugitive, or the Subway sandwiches in the movie Coneheads, all of which caused a massive consumer outcry, raking in millions upon millions of dollars for the advertisers. Pretty stealthy, isn't it? They know it works. That's why they use it. In fact, sometimes they will even use this visual subliminal technology to sell you a politician or particular political party. Watch this classic clip of a Republican presidential TV ad back in 2000 that two Democrat senators asked the FCC to review. Why? Because it was discovered, they used subliminal technology in it. When the ad slowed down, the word rats clearly appear on the screen in large, white letters, sending an ominous message about their opponents. See if you can catch it.
RNC campaign ad. Under Clinton/Gore, prescription drug prices have skyrocketed and nothing has been done. George Bush has a plan? Add a prescription drug benefit to Medicare. George Bush. Every senior will have access to prescription drug benefits. Narrator. And Al Gore opposed bipartisan reform. He's pushing a big government plan that will allow Washington bureaucrats interfere with what doctors prescribe. With the Gore prescription plan, bureaucrats decide. The Bush prescription plan, seniors choose.
So, did you see it? No? Well, here is the freeze frame of the message they wanted you to subliminally think about the Democrat Party. They are a bunch of rats, aren't they? This is why the two Democrat senators filed their complaint with the FCC, because the opposing party really was using subliminal techniques to influence voters. Now, I personally think that both Democrats and Republicans are a bunch of rats, as was exposed in the last election cycle. But be that as it may, anyone who uses this subliminal technology to visually influence others without their knowledge is a rat. Including in this manner. Speaking of flashing a subliminal message. The following are some freeze-frame shots of subliminally flashed ads that appeared on the Sci-Fi Channel. The actual ads appeared for only a fraction of a second and were placed between the regular commercials and the shows. Here's a photo number one of Liberty Medical Services that flashed for a fraction of a second, 9 minutes and 2 seconds into the program, Buck Rogers into the 21st century. Then this is the featuring Dell Computers that flashed for a fraction of a second, 18 minutes, 47 seconds into the Twilight Zone program. And here's a photo featuring the product Swiffer flashed for a fraction of a second, 45 minutes, 38 seconds in the show Stargate SG-1. And finally, here's a photo featuring Progressive Insurance that flashed for a fraction of a second, 1 hour, 54 minutes into the program called Stargate Atlantis. In fact, this subliminal flashing technique has become so commonplace that these particular gentlemen have made a hobby out of it, seeing how many times they can catch them doing it to us.
It comes as no surprise to learn that we get a lot of complaints about ads on television. They are too loud, too offensive, or just too annoying. I love them because they pay my wages.
Whether they are good or bad, at least you are aware they are happening.
Now hold on, what about ads that are too short, you blink, and you missed it? Could there actually be a case of the dreaded subliminal imaging? Our reporter on the scene investigates.
Peter McDermott is of sound mind and body, but lately he says he has been seeing things. At first, these messages were too quick for Peter to see. He begins his interview. How did you notice it?
Peter McDermott. Well, to be honest, my son noticed it. His eyes are younger than mine.
Then Peter started looking for them.
I saw ads for the Lego movie, for Captain Marvel, Continental Soup, and for chewing gum.
He has now realized that they have been there all along. And Peter doesn't like it. These subliminal messages are aimed to get into our heads without us even realizing it. He asked us for our help, and we couldn't resist taking a look. Consciously, that is.
Something is just not right, and they shouldn't be there.
Peter watches all evening.
I could probably see 3, 4, or 5 of these one-frame adverts.
Most TV ads are about 15 seconds long. Maybe 5 if you are watching online. A fresh frame is about 14 milliseconds. Barely there, hardly worth worrying about.
As they are sitting in front of the TV watching a program.
That was an angel.
All of this was happening on Sky TV on the History Channel. Plenty of Tudor England and ancient history, but doesn't explain this phenomenon. Peter wasn't too fast until he saw an ad for liquor flash up on the screen.
The one that really upset me was the range of alcohol, and I think that was not acceptable.
He felt it was unacceptable and might cause more of a risk it to someone more vulnerable.
I'm not a drinker actually, but you are quite right. There could be the potential that someone might be drying out or on the wagon, and this could just be the little thing that tips them over.
But would it, actually? We need an expert. Someone that would offer a glimpse into the human psyche and the world of advertising.
Dr. Lisa McNeil, Otago University Business School. I think this consumer actually has a point when he said this doesn't seem to be the right thing to do.
But that is because of the bad alcohol ad, whose ad is more regulated than most.
What you are talking about is an ad that probably sits around the threshold between superluminal, are able to be observed, and the subliminal, not able to be observed. And that threshold differs by individual.
The difference between subliminal or not comes down to how long or short the ad is or whether you are aware there really is an ad.
So, we know that these subliminal ads do have an impact.
Turns out there are lots of examples that set just at our level of awareness.
Just walking down the street. You smell this smell of hot bread, and you walk into the nearest Subway. That is a really good example of how it is actually working for you. Or when you walk into a store on High Street and you react negatively to the music being played. That is a good cue to you subconsciously that that store just isn't for you, or hair products that really don't suit who you are.
But go to another store that is playing music more suitable to your generation, and for some reason you just want to stick around and shop more. Go figure. And again, notice how they admitted that not only flashing visual subliminal messages on TV was really going on, but they even admitted to the subliminal smells and sounds being used on us as well. Anyone starting to see a pattern here? Maybe I'm not that crackpot that some of you might have been thinking about me at the beginning. Now you know why we've entitled this documentary, Subliminal Seduction: How the Mass Media Mesmerizes the Masses. It's really going on, folks, on a multitude of levels whether we realize it or not, and it's wrong. But that's still not all. Now we get to another immoral section. Not only is subliminally encouraging people to be greedy and materialistic immoral, but the second way they visually subliminally seduce us is by sex marketing. And as we saw in the beginning, this is one of the most commonplace visual subliminal techniques they use on us to get us to lust after their products. This is why they have the phrase in the industry, sex sells. It's not by chance. It really works, and they use this sex sells technique on us in a variety of ways, including subliminally. First of all, I'm only going to give you just a couple of examples of this since we've already dealt with this a little bit in our previous chapter. But again, what I'm about to show you is, frankly, the tame stuff. I cannot, in good conscience, show you just how graphic they really get with this visual sexual manipulation. It's sick. But let's take a look at a few more samples of subliminal sex marketing. Now, the word sex can be embedded upside down, airbrushed in, distorted, or even appear so commonplace that we don't initially perceive it altogether, yet our brain does, subliminally. For instance, here's one of the most common cited examples of a subliminal picture showing a group of flowers. How many of you can see the picture within that picture? Yeah, for those of you who can't see it right away, let me help you out. As you can see, the word sex is clearly embedded within this seemingly innocent photo. Or how about this example we saw earlier? In 1990, Pepsi actually withdrew one of its Cool Can designs after someone protested that Pepsi was subliminally manipulating people. How? By designing the can so that when the six-packs were stacked in grocery stores, the word sex would emerge from the seemingly random design. Now, for those of you who still can't see it, let me help you out again. As you can see, the design on the can clearly spells the word sex when they are stacked together. Is this just a mere coincidence? I don't think so. Critics allege that the red and blue lines on the can were far from being random, and I would agree. Or here's a lady smoking a cigarette, seemingly enjoying a nice summer day while the wind is innocently whipping through her hair. Or is that all that is in her hair? As you can see now, the word sex is clearly and carefully airbrushed into her hair. Gee, I wonder why. Or sometimes they skip the airbrushing of the word sex altogether and instead they subliminally suggest it in the picture itself. For instance, here's a seemingly innocent picture of adults enjoying a nice day at the beach. Or is that all that's really going on here? Let's start from the left and work our way to the right and see just what's really going on here. Now, gee, what does this imply? Or how about this? And what's being implied here? And gee, how about this suggestion? And do you really think this pose is purely by chance? I don't think so. And the point is this. Notice how many subliminals were used in just that one picture. Now, lest you think Hollywood is left out of this manipulative visual technique, here's the cover of their movie, Silence of the Lambs. Now, I don't recommend you watch it, but check the cover out for yourself. If you notice, there's a butterfly on Jodie Foster's mouth. But if you look even closer, you'll see a skull on the back of the butterfly. And if you keep on looking even closer, you'll start seeing something inside the skull. A close-up reveals the skull is actually a picture of a bare-breasted woman with outstretched arms, with two other ladies kneeling before her with their naked backs exposed. It's sick. And their feet in this position are actually what appears to be the skull's teeth. In fact, the supposed outline of the skull is actually a circle made up of other naked women as well. Gee, why would they do this? In fact, as was already demonstrated, one of the most popular ways they sexually subliminally seduce someone visually is by airbrushing the word sex right into a photo. As you can see here, it could be upside down, backwards, squiggly, or freehand, but it doesn't matter because our eyes still pick up on it and so does our brain. For instance, here is a seemingly innocent-looking Ritz cracker. Or is there more than meets the eye here? Of course, there is. As you can see, carefully airbrushed into the grain of the cracker is the word sex. Why would they do that? Oh, but crackers aren't the only culprits they do this to, so does alcohol. They're big on it. Here is a photo featuring an icy glass of Gilby's gin. But is that all that's going on in that glass? Of course not. As you can see clearly, the word sex was airbrushed into the ice cubes on purpose. Why? And here's Camel's cigarette ad giving the command, what you're looking for. So just what is it that we are looking for? Well, apparently, it is the Camel's logo that just happens to be formed in this lady's hand from the dripping ice cube in her mouth. And secondly, the other thing we're apparently looking for in her mouth is an ice cube with the word sex airbrushed right into it. Is sex what I'm supposed to be looking for if I buy a pack of Camel cigarettes? That is what they're implying. Why? Again, these are the extreme tame examples. I can't share with you the gross graphic examples that are also out there on a massive scale. It's again, gross just how far these people will go to subliminally seduce us into buying their products with sex marketing. And here's the point. Think about it. No wonder people today are having a problem with wickedness and immorality like the Bible said would happen in the last days. No wonder our society is getting more and more perverse. No wonder people often say, I can't get these wicked immoral thoughts out of my head. They won't stop. Why? 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 Well, maybe it's because of all the media you're ingesting is subliminally bombarding you with those wicked evil thoughts. Think about it. Shut it off and watch it go down. And I say that because common sense tells us that people on average today watch 28 hours a week of television with this stuff on it, whether they realize it or not, and if only half of those 1,095,000 advertisements that hit us every year are sexual in nature, that means we are being sexually assaulted nearly 550,000 times every single year. And this is legal? No wonder things are going down the tubes like the Bible warned about. No wonder people are having a hard time with sexual temptations. In fact, every once in a while, you'll even get some so-called experts who will actually admit in public that these types of visual subliminal manipulations are really being done to the public, as seen in this interview.
UWTV Classics, Upon Reflection 1993. Anthony Greenwald, psychology professor, University of Washington.
A lot of psychologists believe today that the great majority of information processing stimulated from the environment, sounds, sights, everything, is done unconsciously, and the conscious is the top level, which is only brought into play for the really important things that require action at the moment.
Do you think that with how busy our environment is, how many messages there are, how much is going on, that we can only pay attention? I mean, common sense tells you that you can only be conscious of a very small fraction of what is actually happening?
Right, well, we can only use an analogy coming over the television airways, through the cable wires or whatever, are many stations and many sources of information. We focus on one at a time because the tuner of our TV set will only pick up one at a time. But the way our minds function is as if we are monitoring all of them, so it might be as if we are looking at a TV screen that had all of the channels on it simultaneously, on separate pieces of the screen, separate channels, and whatever drew our attention would blow up and command the whole screen, and focus on it, and that would be our conscious attention.
Now in advertising, these subliminal messages have been used deliberately, and we have a number of examples that we are going to take a look at now. Where some messages are being sent, we may not even know it was there, because a lot of them that we are going to look at most often, here we have Pepsi.
Yeah, we have got a series of images here, and I picked them out to illustrate a number of points. When we are talking about advertising, what we mean by subliminal means various things. Most people believe by subliminal, it means something very briefly on or very dim. The examples we are going to be looking at are ones we can see clearly, and there is subliminal in another sense, which is that they are not the focus of our attention. They might be processed unconsciously. Now, this example comes from a can design that Pepsi used a few years ago. I don't know how easy it is to see on the screen. But one can see when these cans are rotated properly and stacked in a certain way, one can see the letter sex on the can on the right side.
That is a big subliminal message. Sex shows up a lot.
Who knows what kind of affect it has. Now here we have another case, an ad for Salem cigarettes. Unlike the Pepsi can that we were looking at before where you see the letter sex, this one is where people may disagree whether the letters are there, but if you look at the red ribbons on the tree, they and their surrounding could look like the script, sex. This makes it more obvious, but I have to say that it has been airbrushed onto this slide, and it has white dashes to outline the letters so the viewers can see where they are. Those white dashes weren't in the bigger one. So I started with this because I think it is the popular view of what subliminal advertising is towards sex on Ritz crackers, ice cubes or whatever.
Now this is from a popular film.
This is a different type of thing. Here is a very nice graphic work which is the poster from Silence of the Lambs, and you see that bee in the lower left. It's worked into the model's mouth, so it looks like a very interesting graphic thing. But when we go close up in that we see something else. We will see something that would be visible to someone that is looking at this poster closely, but you would really have to focus on it. Here we see on the back of the bee is something that is clearly a skull, there's no doubt about that. But what viewers may not be able to see is that this skull is actually composed of three or four human figures that appear to be nude. Can you see that? It may not come across that well. The eyes of this skull are the backs of heads, and the bones that look like they are coming down from those eyes are the torsos. But this is another example of what is sometimes meant by subliminal. Now, this is sort of continuing the buried head theme in the image. This is a jewelry advertisement, and we are looking at it in a full shot now. But in the top center there is one piece of jewelry, a ring appears, this is a cover of a catalog, and if you take a close-up of that what you see is the inset is not in the ad, that small piece of jewelry in the top center that has been airbrushed and doctored by the artist to contain what looks like a vampire's head to look like the one in the inset.
Now let me ask you, here is this picture with daisies and is all springy, why would they do that? What is the purpose of putting that message in what seems to be a very contradictory context?
It's conceivable that this image, as part of the larger cover shot, had some subtle value of triggering an association, and why associate jewelry with this evil? Well, maybe the vampire is regarded as seductive, maybe it's an association with seductiveness. Here's another one that is even more direct than the last one. The question is, why is this here? This is an ad for clothing, children's clothing. From this full view, you may be able to see in the tree in the back of one of the models. It looks like two eyes, a nose and a head, maybe an animal head. If we look at it closer, it actually looks like a wolf's head. One might say maybe that tree trunk just happened to look like that, but almost certain it was no accident. It isn't a natural shape. People who do this kind of commercial work are very conscious of all the detail. This was, I am positive, put there deliberately. So back to your question, why? Why would this be put there deliberately? Here we have something else. This is the only shot of this one that we are going to see, an advertisement for Dior. This is a men's clothing ad. You will notice in the background a very vague shape that you could probably guess is a very evil-looking head. It might be an animal, or it might be a skull or something like that. It is sinister. And the way the whole ad is photographed with this male model being in the dark, suggests darkness and sinister. It looks like some sort of a menacing animal. Here is one for perfume, Nuance by Coty. This one to me is a very interesting one, because now just like the last clothing ad, this gets into the domain where those things that are off in the periphery may be having some effect on the person because of the association to trigger and can help to sell the product. Now from this distance you can't tell what's there, but if you look at a close-up you see that on the walls of the buildings in the background, and you really have to look closely, are a few words, one of them is fresh and the other word is soft, and in this particular image there were several other words on different buildings. You can see these if you look all over the surface of these, they are in plain sight, but the typical person is going to go by them rapidly, looking through a magazine, would not dwell on them. Nevertheless, the eye would pass over them at the periphery, and they could register their association value, and in this case their association is soft and fresh, and a few other things to capture the image of the perfume. Here is our last image, Camel cigarettes. People might think we are looking at it because of the cool camel who has been regarded as a rather objectionable character and perhaps phallic image. I won't get into that aspect of it. But there are some other interesting aspects of this ad. At the periphery of our attention, and our attention is very focused on that character, but look at what is happening off to the side with the things we are not paying much attention to.
Like war is being waged in the Persian Gulf?
He's wearing the Tom Cruise sunglasses from Top Gun, and we have a plane taking off from the carrier deck.
And you have this woman leaning in one side of the picture.
So this is capturing the idea of the hero in that movie, Top Gun, and it's not at all blatant. It's very subtle, but I think it is the kind of thing that can register to get our attention. In other words, it really does have a subliminal effect on us, whether we know it or not. But that's not all. They get even trickier than that. The fifth way subliminal technology is being used on us is by our sense of psyche. Now, it's bad enough as we've already seen that we are being subliminally manipulated by our sense of smell, our sense of savor, our sense of sound, and even our sense of sight. But there seems to be no end in sight as to the means of which these advertisers and corporations and media moguls will go to seduce us into buying their products, or what the Bible calls idolatry. And believe it or not, They are now going straight into our brains or psyche in order to manipulate us into becoming unrestrained consumers with 100% accuracy. I know that sounds freaky and something straight out of George Orwell's 1984, but it's really being done, and I want to expose that to you. Now, for those of you who think they could never really manipulate our brains that easy, I'm going to show you just a few common techniques out there showing us how easy it really is to do. The first way to easily manipulate a person's brain is with color. Pay attention to all the different ways we can be manipulated with, simply by using color variations or a combination of both. It happens whether you realize it or not, as these researchers admit.
Color affects our moods. Color, direction, quantity, and intensity of light strongly affect our moods, mental abilities, and general well-being. California architect Vincent Palmer has experimented with color and intensity of interior light, and he has found that he can modify the behavior of his guests by changing the color of the light around them. Light quality affects people's emotions and physical comfort, thereby changing the volume and intensity of their conversations and even the length of their visits. Color affects our emotions. Light can be used to elicit an emotional reaction in the viewer. Lighter values, being brighter, seem less serious or threatening. It can evoke a sense of calm, quiet, or warmness. On the other hand, other light values can suggest drama, excitement, or even conflict. In the same way, overall darkness may provide feelings of sadness, depression, or even mystery. Yellows, oranges, and reds give us an instinctive feeling of warmth and evoke warm, happy, cheerful reactions. Cooler blues and greens are automatically associated with quieter, less outgoing feelings and can express melancholy or depression. Color affects our minds. Color, a component of light, affects us directly by modifying our thoughts, moods, actions, and even our health. Psychologists, as well as designers of schools, offices, hospitals, and prisons, have acknowledged that colors can affect work habits and mental conditions. Color affects our bodies. People surrounded by expanses of solid orange or red for long periods often experience nervousness and increased blood pressure. In contrast, some blues have a calming effect, causing blood pressure, pulse and activity rates to drop below normal levels. The affect may be purely psychological, but the results are very real. Perhaps you have read of the workers in an office painted blue complaining of the chill and actually getting colds. The problem was solved not by raising the thermostat but by repainting the office in warm tones of brown.
But that's not all. The second way to easily manipulate a person's brain is with illusions. Now, these examples are pretty wild, or should I say mind-bending. This first one is called the Muller-Lyer illusion. Take a look at the picture and tell me which one of the two lines are longer than the other. Did you say the bottom one? Wrong. If you measure them, you will find out they're exactly the same length. Our brains see the lines as different because we have been taught to use specific shapes and angles to tell us about an object's size. But it is all an illusion. Or how about this example? It's called the Ponzo illusion. Now, take a look at this picture and tell me which line is longer. It's obvious, the top one, right? Wrong again. If you look really closely, you'll see they are actually the same length as well. The addition of lines creates the illusion to our brains that the top line is longer when it's not. Now, this example is called the elephant illusion. Take a look at this elephant and count how many legs it has. It's a piece of cake, right? The more you look at it, the harder it is to count the legs, isn't it? Or how about this one? The straight line illusion. How many of these lines are straight? None of them, right? Wrong. If you look at each one carefully, you'll see they're all straight. Or how about the construction illusion? Take a long look at this picture and see if you can tell which side is the top and which side is the bottom. Not as easy as it looks, is it? Not at all. And this one's called the Hermann grid illusion. Take a look at this picture and see how many black dots you can find. I'll give you a couple of seconds. As you noticed, for some reason, as soon as you see the black dots, they are seen to disappear, don't they? It's wild, isn't it? Or, how about this one? It's called the rotating illusion. Now, concentrate on the dot in the center of this picture and focus on it. Then start to move your head in closer and then back again and see what happens. I'll give you a few seconds. It's trippy, isn't it? The circles appear to rotate, don't they? And then we have the pulsating illusion. Stare at this photo for as long as you can, you'll not only see that it appears to pulsate, but it actually starts to give you a headache. And finally, we have the afterimage illusion. Now, stare at the four vertical dots in the center of this picture for 30 seconds. Now, close your eyes and tilt your head back, and you will soon see a circle of light. Keep looking into this circle and tell me what you see. For those of you who stuck it out, you actually saw an image of Jesus, didn't you? This is called the afterimage illusion. Now, these are just a few examples of how easy it is, whether we realize it or not, to manipulate our brains. And the reason why I bring this up is because these same brain illusions are being used on us in commercials. Shocker. Let me show you the proof. Color contrasting commercials. A while back there was a Dodge commercial that featured a camera shot that immersed the viewer into a bright green forest and it proceeded to just fly around in this seemingly innocuous shot of constant green foliage. But, right at the last second, the screen changed to a bright red Dodge Ram symbol on a black background, specifically. Now the question is, why would they do that and what does that have to do with a Dodge vehicle? Here's the answer. And I quote, "Another phenomenon that defines complementary color is the afterimage effect. Certain color pairings are difficult to look at and our eye experiences a conflict in trying to perceive them simultaneously. The effect is strongest with reds opposed to blues and greens." So, this seemingly innocent Dodge commercial was creating an afterimage in our minds of their Dodge Ram logo in our brains by first having us focus on a green background then flashing quickly to a red Dodge logo. It is not by chance, folks. It is all carefully scripted to manipulate us. They know exactly what they are doing. Here is another example. Motion contrasting commercials. Now, whether you realize it or not, another subliminal technique they use on our brains to manipulate us into buying their stuff with commercials, is by showing us people or objects that freeze in mid-motion and then continue in regular speed shortly thereafter. Much like they did in the movie, The Matrix. Now the question is, what does that have to do with a product and why would advertisers do that to us? Well, again, here's the answer. And I quote, "Startle effects are useful in promoting products as well, because the fast-paced influx of images moves faster than we can react, leaving us no time to reflect on the information. People may remember the name of the product or brand, but the details of the ad itself float in one ear and out the other." So, in other words, this next subliminal brain technique startles our minds in order to embed their product into our minds. They even admit it. Here's another one. Flashing contrasting commercials. Some of you may recall some of the commercials they use on us that specifically hit us with rapid-fire multicolored flashing words or objects much like a strobe light effect. It is annoying and frankly, sometimes, it's not easy on the eyes. So, the question is, why are they doing this? Well, it might be annoying and irritable to our eyes, but it has positive effects for what they are trying to accomplish, subliminally. Here's the proof.
The right brain is stimulated by the movement of animations, flashing lights, and brightness. Listening to the dialogue or music of a television commercial while special effects such as flashing are perceived by the subconscious mind. And these experiences are stored into the memory banks of the right cerebrum.
So now they are hitting our brains with these bright flashing lights in order to subliminally store a product into the memory of our brains. Anybody starting to see a pattern here? So much for nothing to worry about. Subliminal technology is just a big hoax. They would never use it on you. Yeah, right. They are using every trick in the bag on us, and it's wrong. In fact, and as I mentioned before, it's now considered a science. The third way they manipulate our brains is with neuromarketing. Now, as we saw earlier, these same advertisers and corporations, and who knows who else, are not only using subliminal techniques including the color and brain illusions, as we just saw. But they are also using the latest and greatest subliminal trick of all time called neuromarketing. And what it means is that they are now working at manipulating us right down to the neuron level in our brains and looking for what they themselves have coined, the proverbial buy button. I'm not joking. And this is the part of the brain that they say can not only be subliminally triggered to just entice us to buy their product, but believe it or not, to force us into buying their product. Don't believe me? Let's take a look at that proof. First of all, if you feel like advertisers get into your head now, you ain't seen nothing yet. They are literally going straight down to the brain level to manipulate us and there's big bucks in it. The technology to monitor and alter brain waves dates back to the 1970s with actual patents for apparatuses for remotely monitoring and altering our brain waves. Most of the earlier techniques relied upon some kind of calibrated flickering but was easily lost in airwave broadcasts. What was missing was a reliable mass media delivery system. Now, thanks to digital technology, they got the delivery system solved. And since they've now got their reliable mass delivery system, to do their dirty deeds, they're now getting even more specific with their manipulative methods. The latest trends in advertising and marketing are now using a technology called neuroscience to look way beyond just how to influence our choices and to now directly affecting our brains at a physical level. It has given birth to what's called neuromarketing. In fact, Bright House Neurostrategies Group launched the first neuromarketing company back in 2002 and promised in a news release to unlock the consumer mind. And what they do is use medical brain imaging machines such as MRI to map people's brain responses to certain exposures to products, advertisements, packaging, commercials, and even movie trailers to test their effectiveness and specific response. And what they've learned is that the act of deciding whether to make a purchase lasts 2.5 seconds, and when the possibility of buying something first occurs to a person, the visual cortex, in the back of the head, springs into action. Then a few fractions of a second later, the mind begins to turn the product over, as though it were looking at it from all sides, which triggers memory circuits in the left inferotemporal cortex, just above and forward of the left ear. See how specific they're getting? Then, when a product registers as a strongly preferred choice, the goal of every advertiser, the action switches to the right parietal cortex, above and slightly behind the right ear. And if a spot near the top of the brain dubbed the magic spot is fired, a consumer is no longer deliberating, they're itching to buy. Literally, at that point, they are saying to themselves, "I'm going to do it. I want it." Now, this is what they are learning by mapping our brains with this neuroscience, and it has created a whole new field of science called neuromarketing. It's all admittedly moving toward their goal of finding the buy button inside our skull, and to test products, packaging and advertising and their ability to activate it, this buy button. And listen to this. Not just to boost sales for consumer products or merely to generate fads, but even to win votes for political candidates. Another pattern we're starting to see, isn't it? And Bright House Neurostrategies has lured in big corporations as customers who are paying big bucks for this kind of research, like the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, Home Depot, Hitachi, Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, Georgia Pacific, MetLife, just to name a few. And they've done so with the blunt purpose, closing the gap between business and science, with the goal of getting people to behave the way corporations want us to. Can you believe that? Straight out of the horse's mouth. Or as one of Bright House's executives put it, what it really does is give unprecedented insight into the consumer mind. And it will actually result in higher product sales or in brand preference or in getting customers to behave the way they want them to behave. Total manipulation, folks. And they have the audacity to even admit it, including in this video.
My name is Marie, and I am a liberated woman. I live my life as I wish. Which is why I have chosen this brand. This skin cream, Cacha de Cire, I can't do without it. The sensation, when I apply it, is a real pleasure. When I get home from the gym, I often stop at this burger restaurant, Cacha Burger. I love its smell and the toasted bread. And it is so nice inside. I reserve my plane tickets through this travel agency. Cacha Voyages, there are so many images there that maybe I will want to make a return trip to the sunshine. It is much like my bank. I recently changed over to this credit company, Cacha Credit, and took out a loan for what I need to buy for the kids. My name is Marie, and I'm a liberated woman. I like these products because I'm worth it.
Well, Marie, do you really believe you are a free and liberated woman? Did you know that the smell of fast food is deliberately designed to produce an emotional reaction? The travel pictures are deliberately chosen to arouse your desires. The bank slogan is especially created to play on your fears. And your body cream has been developed to spark a desire within your brain. You didn't realize that, of course. Why should you? It's all calculated by the latest technology from neuroscience, like an MRI or an electroencephalogram. These new sales methods make a technique to control your brain. It's called neuromarketing. But my dear consumers, you are not meant to know about it.
Can you believe the audacity there? In other words, they're hiding it from the average Joe, but they're really doing it. Straight out of the horse's mouth again. I wish I was making it up, but we've got to deal with the facts. In fact, when people do deal with the facts, they come back with statements like this. One guy said,
"It sounds like something that could have happened in the former Soviet Union, for purposes of behavior control."
You think? Another critic said this.
We already have epidemics of obesity, diabetes, alcoholism, gambling and smoking, all tied to marketing.
In other words, keep up all these subliminal techniques and now add in all these specific manipulative techniques gained from neuromarketing and it's going to make these things worse. In fact, one person said just that.
Any increase in the effectiveness of advertising can be devastating to the public.
In other words, you keep this up, it's going to destroy our society. And that's exactly what God said would happen when you're living in that last days. Yet, believe it or not, some people actually support these manipulation methods on people. One lady actually stated this.
If I feel a little bit crummy, or a little bit down, my fallback strategy is shopping. I think if they can find a way to help us find a way into that magic little feeling that shopping can give you if you do it right, and you get the right thing, and you don't spend too much money, hats off to them. Thank you. I think it's a service.
Wow. Talk about brainwashed. I guess this neuroscience is really working. But as you guys can see, we've been lied to about this subliminal technology, for years, literally for decades. It's the same old tired lie they use on us. Don't worry. You can trust us. This is all just a big hoax. They would never use it on you. Yeah, right. When the whole time, they are doing it, out there in plain sight, for anyone to see, or should I say, for those who has eyes that want to see. I think some people don't want to deal with this truth. They want to go back to their dream world and put their head in the sand, but that doesn't help anything. And so, for those of you who might still be in denial even after all you've seen so far, I will first of all, close this chapter by inviting you to listen to some logic. Ask yourself, why would advertisers spend $163 billion every year on these manipulative techniques unless of course they really do work? Either it works for them, or they're the dumbest people on the planet who have tons of cash to burn. Trust me, common sense tells you these guys repeatedly spend $163 billion every year because they know it works, and they are going to get a whole lot more than just $163 billion back. They're in it for profit. Plus, that's just the top 200 advertising companies spending that much. Who knows what the real total spending amount is from all the companies worldwide? Secondly, I'd like to invite you to listen to these kids. If you don't want to listen to logic, then at least listen to the honesty of these kids who share with us the harmful effects the mass media really has on them and how it really influences their behavior.
Cigarette billboards tell you to smoke, so do beer commercials on TV. Too many advertisements for alcohol. They can make you buy toys and make you buy cigarettes and beer. I feel that they want me to smoke or maybe drink. I don't like the way they portray alcohol with men and women, especially women. Bad language. Saying bad words. False language. A radio speaker announcer says bad words, and TV can make people do bad things. I can't watch TV without hearing a swear word and can't watch TV without seeing violence. The Simpsons have bad language and do bad stuff. On KDWB, Tony Fly is sick. Swearing in commercials. Songs on the radio like On the Edge and 93.x. There are too many killings on TV. There is way too much violence on TV and causes me to think that most people are like that, and the people that they show who are violent are scrubby and dirty and causes me to think all violent people are like that. TV shows violence and gory things a lot. They talk about strep A and meningitis and killings and it gets me worried. Violence on TV. Too much violence and too much doing drugs. It scares me. It influences me to have bad nightmares. It says everyone wants to be skinny, so I want to be skinny. Lies and bad pictures. Too much sex. It makes me think getting hurt is cool. Sex on TV is extremely bad. It causes people to think everybody is doing it. TV makes you feel that you have to be beautiful in order to be a good person. Guns and violence. The media is big on stuff like violence, bad examples. A lot of violence and killing. Too many drugs and killing. It has caused me to be more violent in some of my actions. All the killing and drugs. Fights. They give ideas about making bombs and other things. There's a lot of violence. They show shootings. Video games that have too much fighting. Watching people getting beaten up. To get into fights. I see crime a lot, guns, kidnapping, and gangs. The media is always showing people dying.
It has changed me to be not so nice because I saw it on TV.
Violence and sex. Drugs and sex.
Show bad stuff like half pornographic.
All of the sex and violence. X-rated shows on cable. Women as sex objects.
See other people naked on TV all the time. It has caused me to swear more often.
Lots of foul language.
Swearing on radio and TV.
It causes me to have a bad attitude toward my parents. It says do what you want to do and don't listen.
It has made me make bad choices and do something I thought was right that is really wrong.
Commercials make you buy things.
Candy?
I think they are trying to get you to buy something.
We can be influenced by choices people on TV make.
It gives some people false images.
It draws conclusions about people that might not be true.
How does that old saying go? Out of the mouths of babes. When are we going to wake up and realize that there really is a subliminal seduction going on and that the mass media is mesmerizing the minds of the masses, for some pretty nefarious purposes, I might add. And we are just getting started. So now let's turn to the unfortunate news that these people and their dastardly deeds are about to get even worse. As those kids admitted, they were also being influenced by other forms of media out there as well, not just television. It included radio, billboards, print media and the like. So, could it be that all forms of media are telling a vision for us to accept that is really manipulating us for another nefarious purpose? Unfortunately, the answer is yes, as we will soon discover in our next chapter.